because we got the alternative energy. Right. On Nuclear Free Autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello, this is the Radioactive Show, and today's show has been produced and recorded on Darawar country in Wollongong in the Illawarra region, just south of Sydney on the coast. I'm Emma Crunch, and today I bring you a conversation I had this week with Jem Rommeld, who many of you will know from previous shows, and she is the director of ICAN Australia, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, and also with Alexander Brown, who's a long-term nuclear-free and peace activist. And Alexander's PhD studied anti-nuclear movements in Japan, where he lived for a number of years. Both Jem and Alexander now live in the Illawarra on Darawar country and are members of WAWAN, Wollongong Against War and Nukes. WAWAN was formed in the last few years and is, as its name suggests, a local peace and anti-nuclear organising group based in Wollongong and nearby surrounds. Winter of 2025 was a busy few months for WAWAN, including exhibitions, memorialising the 80 years since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the launch of the Port Kembla Declaration, which we'll get to in the interview. I speak to Jem and Alexander about this array of events, how they tie into broader strategy and the broader peace and nuclear-free movement.
Thanks for joining us on the Radioactive Show, Alexander and Jem. We're actually have carved out some time to all meet up in person, which is impressive in everyone's busy schedules. If you'd like to start out just by introducing yourselves, and obviously I'm speaking to you as members of WAWAN, but maybe just giving us a little bit of background to Wollongong Against War and Nukes as well. G'day, Alexander.
Yeah, thanks, Crunch. I'm Alexander, and I'm a member of Wollongong Against War and Nukes. I helped start WAWAN with Jem back in, 2022, after they announced that Port Kembla was a potential site for an East Coast base for the nuclear-powered submarines under the AUKUS Pact. And I live in Port Kembla, quite near to the harbour where the base would be, and I've been involved in peace movement and various social movements down here for a long time. So, that's how I got involved.
And how about you, Jem?
I have lived in the region for about 8 years and love Wollongong, and definitely don't want to see a nuclear submarine base being foisted upon the community here. And yeah, I also work with ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, so relevant themes.
Great. Now, as I've been living here about a year, but I've been really impressed with the organising of WAWAN. In particular, it's been a really busy few months for the group, including things like a peace exhibition at the Wollongong Library, a residency at the Wollongong Art Gallery, and of course this year is 80 years since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so all around the country and around the world that anniversary has been commemorated and marked. And then there was the Port Kembla Declaration. So if perhaps we just take it in turns and you could tell listeners a bit about some of these events that have taken place this winter. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. It has been a very busy year for WAWAN. Of course, in the background, well, not in the background, but alongside all of this is also been the local movement as part of the campaign to stop the war against Palestine. So that's also been huge, and a lot of our members are involved in both, and a lot of crossover there. In fact, one of the main focuses of the Palestine movement here is the export of steel from Bisalloy Steels in Unanderra, which is used by the Israeli Defence Force. Well, that same company has the contract already to provide steel for the AUKUS nuclear-powered submarines. So there's a total crossover there. And I guess WAWAN, because of the steel industry here, and from the beginning, we've been fighting over the future of Wollongong and saying, like, this is not a it's a city of peace, and it's not, we don't want it to become like a military base town plus a whole bunch of military industries. We learn we actually have quite a few military industries going on already, but we don't want the steel to go that way. We want it to be used for climate mitigation through building that sort of technology, and that's been a part of our campaign from the beginning. So this year with the 80th anniversary, yeah, we had a lot of ideas, and they all, fortunately or otherwise, all came together at the same time. So maybe I'll start with the library. So the library exhibition idea was definitely around the 80th anniversary. And through some of my research and just like conversations with old peace activists around Wollongong, I knew there was a lot of great photos of the movement going even back to the 1930s, the movement against war and fascism and support of the Republican government in Spain, through to obviously Vietnam War, 1950s anti-nuclear stuff, and then the big anti-nuclear movements of the 70s and 80s. And those photos were in the library, local library collection, and in the university library collection. So we found out that the local library were keen on doing community collaborations to put on exhibitions that were relevant to the Wollongong community. And we pitched the idea that, you know, 80th anniversary, Wollongong's had a long-standing commitment from the council to support peace, especially commemorating Hiroshima. And they were like, yep, we love that idea, and did a huge amount of work to pull that together, including pulling together all the photos. And then we put out a bit of a call and got in touch with activists, some of the elders in the movement as well, who donated badges, t-shirts, other photographs, and all kinds of stuff. And also there was a whole oral history component as well. So the oral history volunteers of the library came out and interviewed Jem, myself, and a bunch of other people. And it all came together into, yeah, a really impressive exhibition upstairs in the main library, put on by, you know, the library, not by us. We were just a kind of a community partner, and had a lot of interest. They put on, I think the great thing about the library was they could do their own events. So they did folding cranes for Hiroshima at all the branch libraries. They just had all the equipment, like origami paper and instructions, everything set up, and they coordinated that. And I do believe some of the librarians had to finish off the last few because they wanted 1,000. And then there was a couple of bigger events, one being a talk on the history of peace in Wollongong, and that was really well attended. And I think one of the best things about that was a whole bunch of elders came, you know, people I'd read about that I actually hadn't met yet, or people I hadn't seen for a long time. Like, and we put together a little booklet as well that capturing that history. So it was a great opportunity to kind of subtly emphasize how important peace has been to Wollongong, with the subtext being, we do not want a nuclear submarine base here. And this shows that we've been making this point for nearly 100 years, or actually it's more than 100 years. It depends what you include. Yeah.
Yeah, that, thank you. That's such a wonderful initiative. And as you say, that the library was right behind it and then also put the energy and resources towards that exhibition that built, like, I guess shares the strength of that history of peace organizing and the foundation of what, as you say, going into the future, trying to make sure it remains a peace region and peace city. Jem, would you like to choose one of the other events to share about?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you a bit about the art gallery residency, which this was in the context of an exhibition called Greetings from Wollongong, which was excellent and basically a retrospective of the art and the posters and the films of political Wollongong in decades past. And some people we know were involved in contributing to that. And as part of that exhibition, the art gallery did something that I haven't really heard of happening before in any other gallery, but they decided to make a few spaces in the gallery available for community groups, activist groups, to be based there. and for about 2 weeks each, and to run events or do whatever they wanted, really. And so we had a residency for a couple of weeks. Wollongong Friends of Palestine has had a residency. The anti-fascist Wollongong group had one, and there was a native plant growing mm-hmm. native plant group as well. And so it's been a wonderful year for the radical hotbed of politics that Wollongong is. And in our residency, we had a bunch of really bread and butter activist events, badge making, screen printing for t-shirts. We had a music event and a meeting at the end of it, a discussion. And we also held a lantern parade on the 80th anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki, which wound through the streets of Wollongong and went down to the harbour. It was actually raining cats and dogs that evening, so we had to cut it short. But it was a really interesting time, because people came along that we'd never met before, and we could really see the value of having a physical space for people to gather in. So much of organising these days and is online, or maybe sometimes getting together in a room at the university. But having a physical space where anyone can drop in, pick up some materials, have a conversation, and just engage with the content in a low-key way was really excellent. Mm. So everyone in our group really enjoyed that. And, yeah, of course, in the background of that, there have been the pickets at Bisaloi, and which have now shifted to be overnight pickets. So that's what Alexander mentioned before, blocking the gates and stopping the entrance of trucks and workers into the steel manufacturing facility for, from like 8 p.m. till 3 p.m. the next day. So really long stretches of time. And there was one of those during our residency as well. They've been led by Wollongong Friends of Palestine and have definitely shown the strength of the peace movement here and the willingness of people to take more committed action and to actually physically block the gates of the factory and stay overnight, even though it's like a very unpleasant place to camp. It's bright lights, it's in an industrial area. But in the morning, there's Food Not Bombs serving breakfast, there's the medics, there's the welcome tent, there's the pram jam, so a kid-friendly space, and they've all been really successful so far.
Mm. Yes, have been at some of those events, and I can definitely attest to the downpour and the lantern parade, but it was really moving to see how many people still came out, and somehow a whole lot of bobbing, colourful lanterns in a deluge sort of had their own symbolism, I think. I mean, this is just something that all these events and organising around peace education in a way, and linking to current the current genocide in Palestine, and also current Australian government policies like the ongoing commitment to AUKUS and the US alliance. I was reflecting on this, and as my own work as a teacher in a school, and have often found that it's quite challenging to bring peace education, and it's also not done that actively. It's not so much of an active practice, I wouldn't say, in our schools at the moment. I mean, do you think there's any insights on how to engage in peace education, but not in just a neutral way where people don't engage with current crises and current atrocities?
Yeah, thanks, Grunta. I'm also really interested in that question. I've got a couple of kids in primary school here as well, and it was definitely part of what we were thinking about with the exhibition and with the gallery space, was providing educational opportunities. And I guess not just for kids, but for adults too. We have our series of peace teach-ins, which our second one is tonight, and that's also very much about educating ourselves. So this one tonight's about the movement in northern Syria around the Kurdish autonomy in Rahava, which even though, you know, many Wawan members are across a lot of issues, I don't think many of us know much about it. So educating ourselves is part of, I think, part of the peace movement always has been. And so one of the reasons the library was so powerful was that they are a bit in a better position than a sort of, you know, activist group to be in that kind of more median space between, so the origami cranes, and they actually did part of the installation of the exhibition was in the children's library at Wollongong Library. So some glass cases were upstairs in a sort of more of a research local studies area, but there was a whole case specifically in the children's area which linked to the story of Sadako and the Thousand Paper Cranes and tried to tap into that side of it. We also were invited to, I did a kami shibai, which is a Japanese storytelling session, which included like some fun stories, but also the story of Hiroshima, told from the perspective of a cat. So it's accessible to a child, but actually pretty full on. And it was difficult to decide whether I should actually perform that story. And I think this is probably one of the problems that peace education faces more broadly, is you don't want to sort of traumatize children by exposing them to the horrors of war, but you do need to find a way to talk about some of these realities, because otherwise, and I wonder what you think about, you know, when I think about my kids' school or what I see in other schools, like obviously Anzac Day and like Australian military history is a big part of the education. And whilst, you know, I think a lot of us in the peace movement have a critique of that as being Australian nationalism and militarism, and I think that's true, I think part of the reason that people want to talk about Anzac Day is kind of motivated by a horror of war. Like, that's why that... But it sort of can become twisted easily. But we do need to find more ways to integrate it. So at the residency, we did have a children's day and we invited our children. So basically a number of the members' children, we had a meeting with them and they put together some ideas. And we had a day where kids made badges. They made some like short videos about their ideas of peace and other kind of quirky, crafty kind of things. My daughter's idea was to have like little storybooks where there was a conflict at the start, but the rest of it was unwritten and it was up to the kids to write the story and find a peaceful resolution to that conflict. So engaging them in that process, and some of the girl guides in the unit came along and joined in that. So we were able to do a little bit, but I think it'd be exciting to explore how we do more of that type of work, because it can be very controversial. How do you do it by still building trust and but not shying away? I don't know the answer, but it was a bit of a start.
Yeah, thank you. I'm keen for those conversations, and that's one probably for the peace movement more generally to think about. Because the flip side of that, and you probably see that in the Illawarra as well, is the increasing militarization of particularly STEM education and these military companies sponsored, you know, Lego Fest and things like that. So there's that creep of money funding programs, which are less explicitly about the military, but then also ones that are about design of submarines and things like that. So feels like in the current climate, it's more important than ever that we start thinking about alternatives.
Yeah, well, we've talked to the New South Wales Teachers Federation about that. We're sort of fortunate that the president and like one of the deputy presidents or something like that are actually based locally of the state union for public school teachers, and they certainly have a position against those militarised STEM education. And the New South Wales Department of Education actually also has a policy against accepting money from arms companies for doing those kind of things. I'm not sure to what extent it's actually happening out there in schools. But there's some resistance in this state, which I think might be a bit unique. But again, I'm sure some of it's going on, one, private schools, two, even public schools, where for whatever reason they're probably not reading the policy. And then there's, like that submarine design competition actually I think is a federal government initiative, so that probably would get around some of those restrictions. But we've got a... you know, there are high school students involved in our movement more broadly, and they've definitely told us about, yes, there is, you know, militarist education happening in their school. I can't remember the exact details, but it's one of those issues where it is tricky. You know, we're sort of trying to, I'm not sure our movement is quite able to take on like the content of education issues right now because it is so difficult, but we need to get to that place, absolutely. And yeah.
I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna talk with the Prince of Peace down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna talk with the Prince of Peace down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more.
You're listening to The Radioactive Show, produced this week on Darawal Country in Wollongong, New South Wales, for 3CR Community Radio and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network. You're hearing a conversation between myself, Crunch, and Jem Romald and Alexander Brown. Jem had to leave the conversation early to tend to the kids, but I continued with Alexander and asked him about the ongoing organising around Port Kembla being a proposed port for the nuclear submarines that may or may not result as a part of the AUKUS pact. And in particular, their recent organising to create and get support for a Port Kembla declaration, which was launched by the port a few weeks ago.
The idea was to get local community groups, unions and party, political party branches, including Labor Party branches, to officially back a declaration that we don't want Port Kembla to be a nuclear submarine base. And over a period of months, WAWAN members contacted a range of organisations, and we had over about 40 signatories to that. And it was kind of good because we had like conversations with some of the organizations where there was a bit of, you know, they weren't sure whether they wanted to put their name to it. Like community orgs, you know, they've got funding issues. They've got all sorts of reasons why they might broadly support it but not want to sign on the dotted line. But it actually enabled those conversations to happen and I think helped to entrench a strong understanding of what AUKUS would mean if it came to Wollongong. And we launched it a couple of weeks ago down at Port Kembla near the Dalfram Dispute Memorial, which commemorates the heroic actions of waterside workers in the 1930s opposing export of military materials to Imperial Japan after the massacre in Nanjing. So we launched it there. We had a great big turnout. We had unions, lots of community groups. We had all the media turned up, which was great, because it's hard sometimes to get media coverage these days. Not many staff left in most of our local newsrooms, but they all turned up for this, and we I think were able to send a strong message and consolidate that understanding that this is a contested issue in Wollongong. And one of the responses to that was a long screed op-ed in a defence industry bulletin talking about how foolish we all were and, you know, we didn't understand what we were talking about. But we tended to think that that reaction shows that, you know, we are on the radar of those who want to militarize and make profit out of our town through war and destruction. And, you know, we just reminded them that we're not going away.
Excellent. Thank you. Always a good sign to, get the hairs on the neck raised of the military agenda. Thanks so much, Alexander, for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch with Wawan as well. I know there's the website, and are you on socials too?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, Instagram, and the website, and we've got an email list as well you can join through our website if you want to find out on our ongoing updates.
Okay, cheers.
You've just been hearing my conversation with Jem Rommeld, Director of ICAN Australia, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, and Alexander Brown, who's a long-term peace activist and organiser. Both Jem and Alexander are members of WAWAN, or Wollongong Against War and Nukes. You can find WAWAN online and find the socials that they update. This has been The Radioactive Show, produced on Darawal Country in Wollongong for 3CR Community Radio and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. Thanks to the Nuclear Free Collective of Friends of the Earth Melbourne for their ongoing support. You can podcast our episodes on 3cr.org.au. Music on today's show has been the song Down by the Riverside, or also known as I Ain't Gonna Study War No More, which is a spiritual African-American song originating from before the Civil War in the United States. Here, I play the version as sung by Pete Seeger. Thanks for listening to today's Radioactive Show. Be sure to tune in next time. I'm Crunch, and here's to a nuclear-free and peaceful future.
Down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Down by the riverside, I'm gonna shake hands with every man. Down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Shake hands around the world, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna shake hands around the world, down by the riverside. Study war no, study war no more. I ain't gonna study.
So this is in the middle of the pandemic where this billionaire is suing the Pentagon for a military contract for what most people think is the place that you order books from. It's a very interesting case study in pulling out the different threads of militarism and how it can really be embedded in so many aspects of our lives that we don't even realize that when we order something from Amazon that we're putting workers' lives at risk and that we're supporting what is becoming becoming an increasingly important actor in the military-industrial complex. Exposing that to people, I think, is very important. People will care if they understand that this is how things are all interconnected and linked. It's surfacing that information, it's making that accessible and making it relevant for people's lives. And I think that is another opportunity that COVID-19 really presents to us, is that we are all connected and these structures are all connected. We can see that much more clearly now than we could before.
We need to keep radical voices on air. Subscribe now.
Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 9419 8377.